Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, worship team. So thankful for all of you. And if we'll turn over in your Bible today, Mark chapter 8, we're going to finish up chapter 8 and read the first verse of chapter 9, because it kind of goes along with that passage. So Mark chapter 8, verse 34, all the way through chapter 9, verse 1. You know, as we think back on, you know, what we've talked about so far in these first eight chapters, as we've gone through the book of Mark together, we've seen Jesus prepare and really show his disciples some amazing things. And basically, the main thing that he's shown them is what it looks like to be my follower. And he's gone through lots of things and done miracles. And, you know, this process has been difficult because either the disciples misunderstood Jesus, or they forgot what he taught, or they questioned what he said. And, you know, they're normal guys, and they're trying to figure this out too. And, you know, and I can put myself in their shoes a lot, because I think we can be like the disciples. And, you know, last week we read about Jesus laying it all out for the disciples. In fact, let's just read real quick verse 31 of chapter 8, because Jesus just lays it out here. He says, then he began to teach them that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, scribes, be killed and rise again after 3 days. And so he just lays it all out there for the disciples. He said, here it is. Here is the final thing that I want you to know. And of course, Peter didn't like that, and Jesus had to admonish him. And, you know, Peter and the disciples still had a lot to learn, didn't they? But we have a lot to learn, and we can put ourselves in their shoes. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. Sure, he had told his disciples about his cross, and now in our passage this morning, he's going to tell them about their cross, about their suffering, which is also our suffering. And so in our passage this morning, Jesus is not specifically sharing the plan of salvation, because salvation has to do with accepting his death on the cross for our sins. It has to do with believing in what he's done for us on the cross and our need for him to be our sin bearer, our Savior. But as I always mention at the end of my sermon, part of salvation is making Jesus our Lord as well. He's our Savior because we accept his forgiveness, but we make him our Lord because he becomes our boss. And Jesus focuses in on that this morning. And it means that from now on, we're going to make him our boss. And so in our passage this morning, Jesus gives us really some requirements of making him our Lord. It's all about being a disciple. It's all about being a follower. And so we'll see that Jesus is moving on from talking about his own suffering and his own rejection and his own death to talking about how these things will be a part of his followers as well. And really, he wanted to make his disciples and us today, because this is for us today too, of what it really means to follow him. So let's read about it together. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. Let's read it together. Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And then he said to them, truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come in power. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So if you are familiar with Luke chapter 9, verse 23, this is the same dialogue. And we typically focus on Luke 9, 23 rather than the book of Mark. But here we have it as well. And so I just want us to notice something here at the very beginning. When it comes to discipleship, we have to answer this question very honestly. Do you want to follow me? And basically that's what Jesus is saying there to his disciples. Do you want to follow me? And I want you to notice something important here. When Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, it shows that that opportunity is for everyone. If anyone wants to follow me, it shows that that opportunity is open to everyone. Anyone means anyone, right? And so this invitation to follow is open to anyone. But let's take a look at Jesus' words a little bit deeper here. This statement that he makes, if anyone wants to follow after me. And I want us to zero in on the word wants. That's a simple word that we could just read right over very quickly and really not give much thought to. But if you look deeply at what that word means, the word that Jesus uses here in the Greek is the word thelo. And this word was used to describe an action that a person was very determined to do. In other words, this means it was a deliberate choice. And so what Jesus is referring to here when he said, if anyone wants to follow me, he's referring to something that's not a casual choice or something that you do on a whim or if you have time or if you can get around to it at some point. This is a deliberate, it's a determined choice. And so if you want to, and Jesus is saying, if you want to make a determined choice to follow me, here are the requirements. We'll get to that in a minute. But then he says, then Jesus says, after me, if you want to follow after me. And so basically what he's referring to there is following in his footsteps, following his lead and following his example, okay? If you want to make a deliberate choice to follow my footsteps, that's what he's saying. And so quite literally, Jesus said, I mean, if you look at the context of Scripture and the meaning of the words, literally this says, if you want to be my disciple, you need to make a deliberate and a determined choice to be a learner so you'll know how to follow my lead. That's what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. And this wanting to do it is not just something you do casually. It's something that you beforehand, you've thought about this, and you're going to make this determined choice to be my follower from now on. So that's the first part, but what are the requirements? Well, he mentions them here. And the first thing that we see here is the word deny. Deny. When Jesus said deny himself, he's not talking about hating ourselves or some kind of self-rejection or something like that. You know, people say, well, from now on, you know, I'm going to love Jesus and I'm only going to eat bread and drink water and I'm only going to wear ragged clothes and I'm going to give all my possessions away. I'm going to live like a monk or something like that. That's what they say. That's not what Jesus is referring to here. It's not self-rejection or some kind of hatred of ourselves. Denying yourself means that you are deliberately giving up the right to run and control your own life. That's what Jesus is getting at here. I'm giving up the right to run and control my own life. This specifically means that, I mean, you're going to follow God's word from now on, that's going to be your authority. When you read God's word and whatever he says about marriage or parenting or giving or serving or loving others or forgiving others, that's what you're going to do from now on. Because his word becomes your authority. You're making that deliberate choice. I'm not going to give in to what I think is correct or what I feel like doing. I'm going to follow what God's word says, and I'm going to follow that from now on. That's going to be my choice in the matter. And so you're going to follow God's word as your authority. And this means that we call what he calls sin, sin. And those are quite opposite many times in what the world teaches. What the Bible calls sin, the world says it's okay to do that. As we've often talked about, you know, you don't have to be a jerk, you don't have to be unloving, but we do have to stand upon the truth and we do have to point people to the truth of God's word and we have to lovingly show them the way of Christ. So this means that we call what he calls sin, sin. It also means that you'll go wherever he wants you to go. You'll say what he wants you to say. You'll do what he wants you to do. And by the way, this is what Jesus did. If you look at the Gospels and you look at Jesus' life, what is he often saying? I'm going here because my Heavenly Father told me to go here. I do this in His power. I do this in His authority. I do this because I want to do His will. He was all about going where the Lord wanted him to go and saying what God wanted him to say and doing what God wanted him to do. And Jesus said, this is the path that I'm on. If you want to be my follower, you have to do the same thing. You have to follow my lead, follow my footsteps. I do this and you've got to do it as well, okay? And just know this, guys, as we do that, it's like, okay, yeah, that's all well and good. I'm willing to do that. But we understand that it's not going to be easy. It will be a fight. It will be a fight inside our human nature. Because in our society, we tend to put ourselves first a lot, right? We do. We put ourselves first. We focus on our own personal happiness. We focus on our own personal comfort. We do what feels good. This is what my faith says. This is what I want to do. I'm going to do me. You know, people say, you do you. You know, it makes my skin crawl when I hear that. You know, be who you want to be. It's okay. That's what society teaches. But that is just the opposite of what Jesus is saying here. And he says, no longer are you to be you. You are to do what I am doing. You're to follow my lead. So it's not going to be easy. Because listen, I think that we all understand this. Selfishness comes very easy for us. You don't have to teach a person how to be selfish. We're born that way, amen? We are. Yet if you want to follow him, we have to deny ourselves. But Jesus also mentions here in verse 34, he also refers to sacrifice. Jesus said the phrase, take up his cross. Let me just say, when someone in Jesus' day took up a cross, it only meant one thing. It meant death, right? You know, we wear a cross today as jewelry, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But in that day, the cross was not something that people thought too highly of. Because it only meant one thing. It meant death. Because the Romans had perfected a way to kill somebody, and it included the cross. And the Romans ruthlessly made you carry your own cross to the place where you're going to be executed. So it's just adding insult to injury. Not only were you going to be executed, you got to carry the means by which you're going to be executed on your back to the place where you're going to be executed. And so it meant for them death, and so they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about there. And you know, you've probably heard someone use this phrase, it's my cross to bear, right? And people, I've used it before, and you know, it's just something that we say sometimes. And people typically use this when they're referring to some kind of minor inconvenience in life. But you know, when we use phrases like that for the wrong reasons, it really cheapens what Jesus is talking about. It really does. And taking up your cross doesn't mean suffering the normal frustrations of life that everyone suffers. I mean, we're all stressed out. We're all busy. We all have work and school. We get sick. We're tired. All the things that we go through, we all have to pay bills. Life is stressful. It's the normal things of life that we go through. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Your cross to bear or taking up your cross. Taking up your cross means suffering for Christ. It means the sacrifices you will make because you're choosing to follow Christ. And by the way, getting up on a Sunday morning to attend church is not a sacrifice. You're not being persecuted. You know, following Jesus means facing social and political oppression. It means being marginalized. It means you're willing to go to a dangerous place to share the gospel. It means being separated from family members and choosing to do the hard things. It means giving up time, treasure, and talent. It means giving up your rights. It might even mean literal death. We have brothers and sisters all across the world who literally, when they gather together with other believers, it could cost them their life. Man, I'm thankful that we live in America where we typically don't have to deal with things like that. But what did we notice this past week? What happened? At a Catholic school where kids were in church praying, and somebody came in and ruthlessly took their life. This is what happens to people who love God and love the ways of God. We don't like to talk about it, but it's a reality of how things go many times today. And Jesus is preparing us for the road ahead that will come whenever we follow, and whenever we follow His will, no matter what. He's preparing us for the consequences that may come for the sake of the gospel. For Jesus, it meant a literal cross. For Him, it meant taking on the sin of humanity. It meant being forsaken by His heavenly Father. But for us, it means being willing to do the same. It could look differently, but we're willing to do the same. But it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And Jesus tells us why next. Go ahead and go to that next one, if you will. He gives us some reasons to follow. In verse 35, Jesus states a paradox. And if you try to save your life by living for yourself and for your own goals and for your own desires, you're going to end up losing it. And the first reason we follow is because of the eternal significance. So if you try to save your own life by living for yourself, like I just said, you live for yourself, your own goals, your desires, Jesus says you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus, if you deny yourself and you follow me, your life will be saved for eternity. But I want you to notice something here. Jesus says we're to lose our life for Jesus and the gospel, right? We're to lose our lives for Jesus and the gospel. Think about what Jesus' purpose in coming to earth. What was his mission? It wasn't to heal people, although he did a lot of that, and I'm thankful that he did, and I know the people that were healed were thankful. It wasn't necessarily to teach. He did a lot of teaching, and I'm glad he did, because we have the Gospels that can speak into our lives and show us how to live our lives, but that wasn't his primary goal. That wasn't his primary mission. His mission was to suffer and die and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that's what he told his disciples. This is what I've come to do. This is what God's plan is for my life. And that is the gospel. That is the gospel. And guys, if we spend our lives only on ourselves and we cling to what we desire, we risk losing eternal life. But if we let go of our own will and we lose our life for his sake and the sake of the gospel, the promise is clear. We gain eternal life. This is part of following Jesus. So a good reason to follow is because of the eternal significance. Another good reason to follow is because of the value of your life. Do you realize that your life is valuable? You are an image bearer of God. He has created you in His likeness. And the way that you look and your features and your skin color and everything about you, God created you the way that He wanted you to be, and me as well. Your life is valuable to God. And Jesus talks about the value of life here. But in verses 36 and 37, Jesus asks some rhetorical questions here. Let's read it again. 36 and 37. He said, "For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life?" So Jesus is saying here, you could literally gain all the world and everything that it has to offer and have all the money and power, but it means absolutely nothing. Because once you die, you don't have it anymore, and these things won't get you to heaven. When you think of all the powerful people in the world, and I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich or to have means or anything like that. The Bible doesn't teach against that. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, live in ragged clothes and go without shoes and stuff like that. I mean, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. But we understand the accumulation of wealth today is not going to get us into heaven. These are not what's going to save us. Our lives are dependent upon Jesus, and he said our lives are the most valuable thing around. And so he said our lives need to be focused on the gospel, not on all the material things of the world. And so if we choose to follow Jesus in the way that he said, our lives are going to live on for eternity in heaven. And guess what? We're going to store up treasures in heaven that will never fade away. Years ago, I was going, you know, you're probably like me. You got stuff down in your basement and boxes in your basement that you have not gone through in years. And we've got stuff in our basement in boxes that we've not gone through since we moved here 26 years ago. And so we were trying to get our basement cleaned out after my mom passed away and, you know, all the stuff that she had and go through some stuff. And I was going through some of the stuff that she had kept for me, you know, the trophies and things like that, that I was opening up and it's like, man, I don't remember that. All these trophies that were really important to me when I was a kid, baseball, football, whatever, track medals and things like that. And every one of them is tarnished and faded and falling apart. It was great to get those, but those little plastic trophies aren't going to last forever. And those medals made out of, not metal, I don't know what it's made out of, are all scratched up and some of you can't even hardly read anymore because that was years and years ago. Those trophies and those medals are going to fade away, but you know, Jesus talks about treasures that we store up in heaven that will never fade away. They'll last for eternity. Man, I don't understand that. But it's true. And we need to accept it. And that's what we have to focus on. Focus on the eternal things, not the temporary things. Your life is valuable because it has the potential to live forever. If we choose to follow him. So a reason to follow him is the value of our lives. And then finally, and very importantly, because we will stand in judgment. You know, we always talk about the fact that Christ died, he rose again. Sometimes we forget that he's going to return one day. And that's part of the story as well. He's going to return, and when he returns, there's going to be judgment. And every one of us will have to give an account for our lives. Christian, non-Christian alike, we'll give an account for our lives. And the things that we're going to be asked are what Jesus mentions here. Did we live for self or did we live for God? Were you ashamed of me? Did you choose to identify with what the world says or in sinfulness? Did you choose to live your life in that way? Or did you choose to identify with me by following me? Those are the types of questions that are going to be asked in this judgment time. And guys, let me just say, depending on how we answer, we'll be judged accordingly. When Christ returns, all those who chose to follow Christ are going to follow him into eternity. And those who are ashamed of Christ by not following him will be eternally separated from him. And we don't like to talk about those things, but it's the truth. And we need to be aware of it. And so a reason to follow Jesus is quite literally salvation is dependent upon it. Because one day we're going to stand in judgment. So I hope that you'll choose to follow him. But what about chapter 9, verse 1? What does that mean? I mean, that's been a hotly debated verse. Truly, I tell you, there are going to be some standing here today who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come in power. Well, I think you just have to read a little bit farther to understand the passage. We'll get into more of that next week. But I think it's safe to say that if you look at the next part of the passage in verses 2 through 13, Jesus is referring to his transfiguration. If you don't know what the transfiguration is, it's when Jesus took Peter and James and John to the top of the mountain where he met Moses and Elijah. And they represented, he saw them, they literally saw them standing next to Jesus. And Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets in the Old Testament. And he spoke with them, Jesus did. And so the disciples, these few disciples here, got to see Jesus in all of his glory and splendor, talking with a glorified Moses and Elijah. And I don't understand all that, but it happened. But in that instance, these disciples saw him as he really was. He is the King of Heaven. They saw Jesus in all of his glory. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about there. Again, we'll talk more about that next time. But I want to close by just saying the call to follow Jesus is high and costly. Those who give their lives to Jesus, they are submitting to a life of self-denial and sacrifice and suffering. But it also leads to a life of joy and peace and hope. I don't want to just focus on all that other stuff other than the fact that it's worth it. Because one day we're going to be in heaven with Jesus forever, and we're going to have new and glorified bodies, bodies that aren't old and broken down or sick and cancerous or anything like that. We'll have a new body that's fit for heaven and earth, and it will last forever. And there'll be no more pain and suffering. The Bible says that nothing that is vile or profane will be able to enter into that place. There'll be no need for sunlight because it will be illuminated by the glory of Jesus and God. We'll never know sadness there. We'll never be scared there. We'll be satisfied all the time. And we can read about what that's going to be like in the Bible, and we get a glimpse of it, but I don't think any of us really understand what heaven's going to be like until we get there. But it's going to be good, and it's going to be worth it. So yes, here on earth, there may be suffering, there may be all these things that we talked about today, but it always leads to joy and peace and hope. But I want to mention one more thing here, guys, because I don't want there to be any confusion or thinking about, am I really a Christian or not? You know, because I don't always do these things. I just want us to understand, as Christians, we're not always going to do the things that Jesus mentions in this passage. We're not going to get it right all the time. We're not. And just because we don't always do it the right way doesn't mean that we're not Christians. It doesn't mean that we don't love Jesus. Because here's the thing, discipleship, and this is what Jesus is talking about here, following him, following in his footsteps, it's a process of spiritual growth over time. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint, right? We're not going to get there quickly, and it's going to take a while, and there's going to be a few bumps along the way. And we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to fall, and we're going to falter, and we're going to be selfish at times. We're going to identify with the world at times. It's just going to happen because we have a sinful nature, this human part of us that sometimes rears its ugly head and gets in the way of who we really are. So just because you don't do it right all the time, I don't want you to think, well, I've lost my salvation, or I never was a Christian in the first place. Don't buy into that lie either. Because here's the thing, and in your mind is like, I overall want to do that. I just make mistakes sometimes. Even Paul said, the very things that I don't want to do, That's what I do. I mean, this is a guy that took the gospel to the Gentiles, who put his life on the line, who was probably one of the greatest Christians ever, greatest missionaries ever, and he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And so, don't think that you're going to get it right all the time. But there'll always be that desire for us inwardly to live for Christ. We'll always come back to him. We again choose to follow as we should. And overall, we want to follow as we should. So I just want to throw that in there as some encouragement there, so we don't overly worry about this. But each day we have to strive to love Jesus above all. We have to be willing to suffer whatever opposition or anything that comes that our commitment to him may bring. But we can endure because we know there is joy and eternal life for all who follow him. Amen. It really is worth it. It really is worth it. Well, maybe today you need to make that first step to follow Jesus. You can honestly say, Pastor, there's never been a time when I have truly made a commitment to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, there's good news for you today. Today can be that day for you. And the way that you do that is by admitting you're a sinner. We talk about it every week, right? Admit you're a sinner. Ask for forgiveness and turn away from your sin. Believe in what Jesus has done for you. He died, he was buried, he rose again. He will return, as we talked about today. And to commit him as Savior and Lord. He's our Savior because he's forgiven us of our sins. That's not so much what Jesus was talking about here today. He was talking about the Lordship part. And we decide that we're going to make Jesus our Lord and follow him. Whatever that looks like, whatever it means, wherever he wants us to go, it's okay to make plans. It's okay to plan for the future. There's nothing wrong with that. But what if Jesus says, number three on your list, scratch that out. I got something else for you. Are you willing to do that? Man, I tell you, when I was a youth pastor, when Leslie and I worked with teenagers, man, we drove that home to them, especially kids that were getting ready to graduate, and they're making their plans. There's nothing wrong with that. You're making your plans. That's all well and good. But have you really sought what God wants you to do? And if God says, I don't want you to go here. I don't want you to study this. I want you to do this. Are you willing to do that? And we would challenge him to make that choice. Because that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So maybe today you need to make that commitment. You can do that when Stephan comes in just a minute. He leads us in a song of commitment. You can say a simple prayer of faith right where you are. And just invite him into your life to be your Savior and Lord. If you need help with that, I'll be here at the front. You can come talk to me. We'll pray through it together. If you have another need that you need help with, I'll be right here. We can meet sometime this week. Don't leave today without letting God do business in your heart, okay? And you have people here in this church that love you and care about you. And it doesn't have to be me you talk to. My feelings aren't going to be hurt if you don't come talk to me and you talk to somebody else. I promise you, my feelings won't be hurt. I encourage you to go talk with other people because we have loving people here that will love and help you in your time of difficulty, okay? All right, let's pray together. And then Stephan will come. Father, we thank you today. And I pray, Lord, that the words of this message, despite how it was delivered, would speak into our hearts today. That the words that you spoke, that we would let them in, that we would internalize them and live them out. And Father, for all of us today, that might look differently, as we're all different people and we have different families and different directions that you've taken us in. But Lord, in the way that only you can, We ask you to speak to us today. Lord, we open our hearts and our lives up to you. And we say, let your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name.